Well, with much fanfare last week after a close vote in Congress where the vice president had to cast the tie-breaking vote, President Trump celebrating the passage of what he has always called the big, beautiful bill. Jill, does whether it's beautiful or not depend on who you are?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, listen, at almost 900 pages, there is a lot in here. I guess that the big picture is this is a massive tax and spending plan which extends most of the 2017 tax cuts that we had under the first Trump administration. Throws in some new cuts. Most of those new cuts are temporary. Now, obviously, all of this costs money, and to pay for a portion of all of the extensions, the bill slashes Medicaid. That is the health insurance plan for 70 million lower-income Americans. It also takes a big chop at the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Plan, that's SNAP, you know, formerly known as food stamps. And so I would say that the big loser of this would be lower-income Americans who really do stand to lose quite a bit from the bill.
Now, always everyone seems to target, when they're talking about these things, the middle class. Will the middle class be a winner or will they be a loser with this?
I mean, it's a weird thing because there are a lot of nuances to this. So I said that there are going to be some temporary cuts. So I'll give you an example. We heard a lot about tips, right? Or if you earn tip income. Well, let's say if I'm a middle class person and I do rely on tips, I'm able to get some help on that. I will not have tips taxed for a few years until 2028. And if I make less than $150,000, I'll be able to keep more money. Now, of course, if I'm a middle class person, I earn the exact same amount of money, but I don't get tip income. Maybe I work in retail, then I don't get that. So it's kind of weird, right? It just depends. Same thing with this overtime, that, you know, that there's a deduction that people will get for working overtime, but if you're not somebody who works overtime, you're not going to be able to get that. And if you don't own a home in a high tax state, you don't really care about the state and local tax deduction. So all of these different pieces mean that it just depends what kind of income you're earning. And when you look at the analysis by a lot of smart people, say at the Yale Budget Lab or the Penn Wharton Budget Lab, what they're finding is that overall the middle class doesn't see a huge increase or decrease. You know, we see that the lower income folks, they really take a hit. The middle, it depends who you are. But, you know, the big winner, which this is always the joke of like what with the golden rule, those with the gold rule, the richest Americans do receive the biggest benefit. So instead of having anything that resembles a loss, the top 5% of earners in the United States, they are going to gain quite a bit. And, you know, I think that when you think look at that, you know, we're talking about people who earn more than $400,000, which is a lot of money, I get. They're going to make a lot. They're going to, you know, even if you just look at the on a percentage basis, they're going to certainly get a lot. Yeah, you know, like there are some things that are thrown in, some little things like if you're an auto loan borrower, like if you need to borrow money to buy a car, you're going to be able to have a temporary deduction for auto loan insurance. But again, it's only in place for a few years. People over 65, they're going to get a temporary little bonus of a deduction. Again, it's only for a few years. So I guess all of this is to say it's really hard to understand like the impact of this bill long term because we don't know what's going to happen after a lot of these things expire.
And one other area that seems to be a loser, and it's been a tough few months for them, the people with the student loans because of some other cutbacks and renewed enforcement.
Yes. You know, college students and their families, it looks like we are going to see the end of subsidized and income-driven loan repayment plans. There's also going to be some new overall limitations on student borrowing and the tightening of Pell Grant eligibility. So I think the loan picture is really changing for those who are entering college. Now, maybe this is going to be news that is met with a lot of groans from many people, but maybe it just means that families are going to have to really look hard at their choices in terms of colleges and not bite off more than you can chew, because I think if you turn to the private student loan market, it's a much more restrictive way of borrowing money for college.
Finally, Jill, how about the fiscal impact of this? How's it going to affect GDP?
Well, that's, you know, that is really going to be something that is hard to sort of translate into real world. So let me have you think about this. The cost, we have a lot of cuts, right? I talked right. about tax cuts and tax extensions. That costs money. We have money coming in from tariffs. We have money coming in from cuts to Medicaid. But it's not enough to cover all of these cuts. So various analysis have found that the bill will cost probably more than $3.3 trillion over the next decade. And that is something that the administration has said, don't worry about that because there's going to be so much growth because everyone's going to have a lot of money from extra taxes that will make up for it. But that's not what most of the analysis finds. It finds that we're going to see lower growth and probably more debt and more deficit in the future. And that's what I think is going to not be the problem today. But at some point, that's going to be a problem.
And the debts, that's always something that we tend to kick down the road, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Yes. And you know, unfortunately, it doesn't mean that there's going to be some big debt bomb explosion. What it means probably is that the economy doesn't grow as fast, job creation falters in certain sectors, and frankly, that interest rates are going to stay higher for longer. I think that we're in a different range of interest rates right now, and everyone thinks that as soon as the Federal Reserve cuts interest rates and we get back to where we were. I'm not sure we're going back to where we were. We're never going back to 0% unless there's a crisis, and we don't want a crisis. So I think that we ought to get much more used to the fact that we're going to have higher interest rates, and that's going to create a different dynamic for many people.
Well, Jill, thank you so much for your insight on the winners and the losers from the big, beautiful bill. We'll talk to you again next Monday.
Take care.